This is Tuesday, May 19th, and this is our continuation of our Tuesday night Bible study, looking into the temptation of Jesus. And specifically, we're going to be looking at the first temptation, which is found in Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Let me read those. It says, "Now when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.'" Jesus, of course, quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. And before we look at this, let me clearly tell you from the beginning, there's a whole lot more to this temptation that meets the eye. There's a lot more involved here than Satan tempting Jesus to satisfy his earthly hunger by doing something that no human can do. There's a deeper picture here that, quite honestly, I know in my own life I struggle with, and probably you do too, when it comes to not waiting on God's provision, but deciding that we'll take matters into our own hands, provide what we think we need, and forget about him. A parallel passage in this is found in Matthew 6:33, where the context is, of course, Jesus talking about, why do you worry about your own needs? Why do you worry about what you eat, or where you're going to live, or what you're going to wear, or what's going to happen to you? Why are you overwhelmed with those worries? Because the Father knows what you need before you even ask him. And then the verse, Matthew 6:33. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." This is a faith verse. We've talked about this for several weeks now, talking about being a faith prepper. It kind of runs through a lot of the stuff that we've been discussing. It's a faith statement by God. Why do you worry about things I promise to take care of? If you will seek me first and my righteousness first and put that at the center of your life, then everything you worry about, I will take care of. And that's a statement by God. And the question is whether we believe it or don't. If we do believe it, then we move into a whole different realm of faith with God, which I believe is really the normal Christian life. And if we fail to believe that, then we doubt God's goodness, we doubt his provision, we definitely doubt his timing, and we decide to take matters into our own hands because I have a right not to be hungry. Therefore, even though God has not provided bread for me, I'm just going to command these stones to be made bread because that is my right as the Son of God. This is the underlying temptation that Satan is trying to make Jesus stumble with. Here's how the temptation plays out. He begins by saying, "If you are the Son of God." Now, that is a conditional statement, but it's a conditional statement based on the assumption that he is the Son of God. In other words, Satan wasn't saying, "I don't believe you are the Son of God." What he's saying is, if you are the Son of God, since you are the Son of God, because you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. There's nothing wrong with that, Jesus. It seems reasonable, Jesus. I mean, why should you starve to death in the wilderness? Why should your needs not be met? You are the Son of God. You are God's beloved Son. You're an equal member of the Trinity. Why are you out here starving? Why are you out here struggling? It's beneath you to do that, Christ, because since you're the Son of God, because you're the Son of God, take matters into your own hands and satisfy your hunger. There's nothing wrong with that. The temptation here is that Satan is trying to convince Jesus that he has every single right to use his divine powers to supply his earthly needs because, and here's the temptation, obviously God hasn't. Your Father is good, your Father is gracious, your Father is wonderful, but he's left you out here to starve. If he was truly good, and he was truly gracious, and he truly loved you, he would meet your needs. But since he hasn't met your needs and you're suffering, there must be some flaw in him or a flaw in your relationship with him. So go ahead and do and provide for yourself what he has not, and command that these stones be made bread. What he's tempting Jesus to do is rebel against his Father, just like he does you and I, or at least he does me almost every day in my life. He provides what he promises to provide, but if I find his provision is not meeting my needs, although they're really just my wants, then I'm willing to go into debt, I'm willing to run ahead of him, I'm willing to do whatever's necessary on a credit card to be able to give me what I want now, rather than waiting on him to provide for me on his timing. If I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that he will provide everything for me, all my needs. But that may not satisfy all my wants. It just satisfies my needs. And the temptation here is to assume God doesn't have my best interest in heart and to do what's necessary to provide what I think I want on my timing rather than his. Another verse that is paramount to being able to understand the totality of the temptation here comes from Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. And you've heard this verse so many times. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And we say absolutely and amen. But what's left out of this passage is when. How long will we be in perceived need before God actually satisfies that need? We think we have a need, he may not, and so I may have a felt need or a desire need, and God doesn't see it as a real need, and when time passes between the time when I determine I have a need that has to be satisfied and God determines this need needs to be satisfied, the time between those two, which could be months or years, is the time where I'm tempted, like Satan was trying to tempt Jesus, to take matters into my own hands and meet my needs now. But the verse says, and my God shall supply all your needs, all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So any need that I have is included in the all that he will provide. And if I don't believe he will provide or I'm not satisfied with his timing, then I fall prey to the same temptation that Satan was trying to lay on Jesus. Since or because or if you really are the Son of God and you really are his son, unwritten and implied, and he obviously is not taking care of you because you've been struggling out here in the wild beast in this horrific environment for 40 days, then you need to go ahead and do what God has chosen not to do. Maybe he's abandoned you, or maybe he's busy doing something else, and meet your own needs by your own power, because you have that power and you are the Son of God. Command that these stones be made bread. We are never justified scripturally by complaining or worrying about what we don't have. We are to rest in him and his provision and trust that he's given us everything we need. Because after all, we are complete in him. Now, I have failed at this in my own spiritual life, pretty much most of my spiritual life, because I live in America where we're judged by the accumulation of our possessions. And so whenever we have a need, or for us, it's usually a want, we go out and we buy it. And we buy it today and we pay for it tomorrow, and we're a debt-based society, and that's pretty much how we live. We buy houses on time, we purchase cars with payments because we want this now. I struggle with that and fail with that a lot. But the reality is that Christ promises to provide all our needs in him. Jesus came to earth to do nothing more than just the Father's will. He said he doesn't do anything other than what the Father tells him to do. There's no way there's going to be a fracture in the Trinity because of Jesus going rogue on what the Father's plan is, or being an independent contractor, or calling his own shots, or deciding that God just doesn't see it from his perspective. And so therefore, in answering Satan in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, what he's saying is there's something far more important than me being fed, or me having a nice car, or me living in a house that I want, or taking the vacations I want, or going my own way. I live, I breathe, my existence is not to satisfy my own needs when I think I want them. For it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. True life, true substance, true purpose comes from living in Him and not going around like a baseless, soulless animal, just satisfying my own cravings and urges, even though they are justified like hunger. Yes, since I am the Son of God, and because I am the Son of God, I could turn these stones into bread. But God knows my needs, and it is far more important to feast on Him and be in the center of His will than it is to do things by my own volition and not wait on Him. I'm telling you, this is a big one for me, because as I've shared with you time and time again from the pulpit, like the kink in my armor, the thing I struggle with the most in my spiritual life is I would truly rather do something wrong today than wait and do it right tomorrow, which is the exact temptation Satan was tempting Jesus with, and the exact temptation he tempts me with, and possibly you. But the answer is, it's not about me. It's not about my needs or my wants or what I think I have to have. It's about living and existing on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Dwell on this today. Think about this today. And I think you'll find it'll change your life. Can't wait until we do this again tomorrow. Have a great day.